Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. It's good to be here one more time on Blog Talk Radio with Truth Ministry. So what a blessing. So we just thank God that we are here beginning a new month. Here we are in the fifth day already of the month of March. So we're grateful for that. So we are continuing with Word Power and part three on today. So we thank God for all of our listeners, all of our Facebook friends and followers, all of our LinkedIn connections and friends and followers, all of our Twitter listeners and followers and friends. We just thank God for all of you that listen to Truth Ministry. So we're blessed to be able to have this Blog Talk Radio to broadcast over the airways. And we don't know where all or wherever our voice is being heard. We're just grateful to be able to bring you gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our call-in number, should you desire to call in, you have a comment or you have a question, you are welcome. 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566 is our call-in number. 646-716-6566. So we're just so grateful. We have been teaching on Word Power, and this is our third week on that. Before that, we were teaching on miracles. So we're just grateful to be able to teach, and we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto everyone is of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. A question. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why is that? There would be no more, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we thank God for that. That's in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, to those who already are saved. And that is, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So you got to have the message of hope and deliverance. That is the message of the apostolic message, which was delivered by the apostles that Jesus chose, whom he taught. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They walk with him, all except for the Apostle Paul, but he was the last one to see him, and he was taught of him. So you got to, one of the signs of being an apostle, you had to see the Lord, you had to be taught by him. Their job was to lay the foundation and write the New Testament scriptures, and also they all died horrible deaths, with the exception of John. He was boiling oil, but he was in the isle called Patmos for the testimony of the Lord. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So we know that he saw the end of time. In the fourth chapter of Revelation, the door is opened in heaven. Everything that happened after the end that John wrote, the church was in heaven. He was looking back down on earth. Jesus only said a few more things after that. So we thank God for his word. And we're going to move on today as we have been talking about word power. So we know this is what Jesus' word was, with power. And so many things that he did when he came on the scene, the devils knew who he was. And he told them to hold their peace and that they should not make him known. So sometimes he healed and he told people, don't tell nobody. No man know it. He didn't want them to publish it, but he knew that they would. That is, you've been with Jesus, you've been touched by Jesus, you can't keep it to yourself. So we're thankful for that. So today we want to start off talking about word power. And we want to use a phrase, a particular scripture that's found in the book of Ecclesiastes that we want to start off with here on today. And so it's Ecclesiastes 8, the 8th chapter, and verse 4. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Remember, we're talking about word power. The word of a king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, what doest thou? So you got to know what a king is. And this is 1 Timothy 6 and 15, which in his times, talking about Jesus, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. That word potentate means supreme ruler, King of kings and Lord of lords. So it's going to be the time when he has to, there's appointed time when he's going to reveal himself in that particular way. But in the meantime, that'll be after the church is gone and the tribulation period, when the church comes back with him as the Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam, said, they said, the writer said, behold, the Lord cometh, in the book of Jude, with 10,000s of his saints coming back. So he's going to come back like he went up. And he said to them, they were asking him, Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Notice what he said. They asked him a question. This is after his resurrection from the dead. He was on the earth for 40 days before he ascended up and sent back the Holy Ghost. They asked him, would thou, this is in Acts 1 and 6, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That is a very legitimate question. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He said those things. He stepped on a cloud, was received out of their sight. Two angels, two men in white apparel, which were angels, said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, which is taken up, is going to come in like manner. I just said it. He's going to come with 10,000s of his saints. When he comes back and steps on the Mount of Olives and crack it in half, that is the second coming. But when a church is caught away, raptured away, change, as Apostle Paul talks about the change in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is all the appearance, we say, the rapture of the church. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, that moment is before you can bat your eye. In a twinkling of an eye at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. He says, this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. Then when that shall happen, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that quote was taken out of 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. So, we're talking about word power. So, our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the King of glory. He's got to show who he is. So, they tried to mock him, make him a sham prophet, put a crown of thorns on his head. Everybody knows the story. 27th chapter of Matthew, in the book of Mark, in the book of Luke, in the book of John, these things. You a king? They ask him. He said, thou sayest. So he says, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting in power. So those times are going to come. But in the meantime, we're going to move on here. And so we're still, we've been dealing with in the book of St. John on last week. We talked about the resurrection of Lazarus. We talked about the Good Shepherd in the 10th chapter of St. John, Revelation, the resurrection of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, in the 11th chapter of St. John. We made mention the 12th chapter of St. John when they had a feast, and many Jews came to the feast. And the main, they came to see Jesus, but they also came because they knew, they wanted to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. That was their reason for coming. So in previous times, we talked about his word. We made quotes out of the book of Isaiah when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is, God is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach good tidings, to preach the gospel to the poor, you know, delivering of the captives, and setting at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the quotes that he made out of the Old Testament about the widow woman in Elijah's day, and also Naaman, who was the captain of the Assyrians, how what he did to win that battle. He was an honorable man and all, but he was a leper. But he made mention of, Jesus made mention of Naaman being healed of his leprosy. So anyway, so his word was with power. When they heard those things, they were filled with wrath. They took Jesus to the broader city and threw him over the cliff, as we would say, head first. But Jesus, through the midst of them, so passed by, went his way, he disappeared. Wasn't his time yet. So that's it's amazing. Like they say, they used to have a saying, the word of God will do one of two things. It'll make you shout and glad. It'll make you fight and mad. And I've seen over the years that is true. Preach to people right where they are. That's what we endeavor to do. Like good, we are like B.F. Goodrich, right where we get right down where the rubber meets the road. So on today, we're going to continue here in the fifth chapter of Luke. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, we're talking about Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You imagine that? Like some of these big bodies of water. Michigan is known for its Great Lakes. Also, Ohio, Lake Erie, I mean, Lake Superior. Some of these big lakes and seas. You imagine that, and Chicago has a lake there, the Lake Shore Drive. You imagine the master in the ship and the people standing on the shore listening to him teach. You nowadays, you can't get people to go to a church house. Just certain people that go for their own reason. Everybody won't go. So this is not to listen to a man, but this is to listen to the master himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, going on here, he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draw. So these were professional fishermen he was talking to. We're talking about Simon Peter here. Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's not what he said. He said, let down your nets for a draw, plural. Peter said he will let down, singular, the net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. You imagine that? That's a lot of fish to have your boat beginning to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When he had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, thou canst make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. I'm talking about Emmanuel, God with us. And he charged him to tell no man. So he told him, don't tell it, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Remember, law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It hath been said, but three words changed it. Jesus said, but I say. It has been said of old time, but I say. Those three words. So, notice here, the law was not done away with yet because Jesus hadn't died. But so much the more there went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by their infirmities, by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed, talking about Jesus. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought by means to bring him in and to lay him before him, talking about before Jesus. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, there were so many people, they couldn't get through. They went upon the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Can you imagine that? They broke the roof up. They let the man down because the master was there. Nobody was stopping him either. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, listen, what we're saying now, we're talking about word power. Keep in mind, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? It's a question he proposed to them. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He, that is Jesus, said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he laid and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. I would say, not strange. It's unusual, because they were out there with their long garments on, and they could not do, the Pharisees and the scribes and the doctors of the law and all, they couldn't really help the people, not like the master, because his word was with power. So Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him. But I want to go back. This is Matthew, incidentally. He was a publican. Matthew, who he's talking about here, Levi. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. There was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I know if you've been listening to this ministry, Truth Ministry, you have heard me make that quote before. So we know the Pharisees, they're masters at finding fault. So he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bridegroom, the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? Question. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away
from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. No man put a new wine in the old bottles, else the new wine will burst, the bottles be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put in the new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desired new, for he saith the old is better. So here, what he's talking about, the bottles is sheepskins, not just bottles like you would have nowadays. So he's making a point here. So it came to pass on the Sabbath, second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. He said unto them, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. There was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an occasion or accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, remember, we're talking about word power, rise up and stand forth. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And he looking around upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. Why would they get mad? Because they knew who Jesus was just like he said, believe me, or believe me for the very work's sake. So, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and them he chose, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So see, people don't understand this. He is very God. He was our example. So as much as Christ suffered in the flesh, we got to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. This is what Peter said in his book. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin as God did from, we enter into his rest. So as he did from his. So God rested on the seventh day. So he definitely was our example in everything that he did. So it was day. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. So Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. You imagine that? They knew. That's what I'm talking about. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed, that means they were troubled with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. So it's so very important to pay close attention to repetition. We see what's going on here. There's a lot of healing going on here. You go up in previous verses, we can see that the power of the Lord was present to heal in the previous chapter. So we go on here. They were healed of their diseases. He healed them all. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they which that hunger now, for they shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when ye shall separate, they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you, cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hungry. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn. Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that which despitefully use you. Unto them, him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Remember now, he's talking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel here. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with what the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So a lot of people take this scripture, they use it to talk about money. So giving could be other things, just not just money. Because he's talking about with what the same measure you meet shall be measured to you again. He spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? No. Shall they not both fall into the ditch? That's a rhetorical question. You know they will. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So in other words, the word perfect is mature. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how can thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. So if you got a beam in your eye, beam goes across. You are blind. You can't see. You got to get that out before you can help somebody else. So in other words, you got to be right before you can help someone else. Your heart has to be right. You got to be willing. You got to have the victory yourself before you can help somebody else out. That's like trying to tell somebody else how to get rich and you poor. You can only help somebody get the victory if you got the victory. Because this is not, like we say in the first chapter of Acts, when he wrote O Theophilus, and he went on to say the former treatise, he said, O Theophilus, of all Jesus begin to do and teach. So this is what this is. You got to do it. You do it, then teach it. Not do as I say do, not do as I do because I'm not doing right. No, do and do it first, then teach it. So you don't want to be a hypocrite. And so this is, you notice here, that's what he's calling these people that have a beam in their eye. He said, thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine eye, then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do gather grapes, of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather their grapes. Good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So that's why the proverbial writer in Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we know in the 12th chapter of Matthew, I believe it is, he was saying, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we have to be, like James said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So sometimes that happens when you're talking. Sometimes you got to take time to think. You may not have answer. Some things we answer hastily, right away, anon. That means immediately we do that. Other times we have to think things through, because sometimes somebody could ask you a question that you got to think about. You want to answer right, because there's power in words. So that's why you have to think. So sometimes people, you have to watch it, because you don't want to say things to offend. You know, just every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. What is an idle word? It's a word of no value or no profit is what an idle word is. So you want to be, your words, you want to be selective when it comes to your words. You don't want to be offensive. So the thing of it is, if your heart, you keep your heart right, you won't say things to hurt people. Now, I'm not talking about, now I see somebody trying to deceive somebody, a crook or a devil, I'm not talking about that. I smash them, a false prophet. We don't kill them like they did in the days of the prophets. They literally killed a false prophet. But what we do in the day of grace, we kill their influence. You're a deceiver. That's what John said. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things that we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abided not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So we have to be careful. So deceivers and that try to hurt people, we're not playing with them. So anyway, so he goes on here. He's saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So in other words, Lord, Lord, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That means it had a foundation. So, but he that heareth and doeth not, talking about the words, these sayings, what he's talking about is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against when the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So actually the account in Matthew is when he's saying, if you hear these sayings of mine, I would liken to you as a man that built his house on a rock. So he's saying the same thing here in the book of Luke. So We know his word was with power. It's so very important with what he said to people. So he, we go on here. I want to go into the seventh chapter of Luke. So anyway, we want to pause here. You're for station identification. You are listening to Truth Ministry, and I am your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, the spokesman for the King of Glory. And we want to reiterate again, should you desire to call in, you can call 646-716-6566. If you have a comment or if you have a question, you are very welcome. That is 646-716-6566. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Don't that sound like something that just happened? Yeah, last week when we read out of the 11th chapter of St. John about Lazarus, who was sick and died. But Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. We know that Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know whatever you ask of God, he will give it to thee. Give it thee. He said, thy brother shall rise again. So she was saying, I know he's going to rise at the resurrection of the last day. He let her know, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So, you know, as the story goes on, well, I don't like to say a story, but the event, because it was an actual event that happened. How they went, took away the stone, said, I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. They didn't want to take it away because he had been dead 4 days. They knew he, by this time he stinketh. Took away that stone. He prayed for the people that were standing by. I said it. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, and his face was bound with a napkin. He still had on his grave clothes. Jesus said to the men that were standing by, loose him and let him go. So that's what a miracle. Raise a man from the dead, he's still bound in grave clothes. So anyway, we go on here. The centurion servant who was dear unto him was ready. Unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard that of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, "This that he was worthy of whom he wasn't worthy, that he was worthy of whom he should do this, for he loved our nation and hath built us a synagogue." So this is amazing. Here the people come with their sayings that they have. They knew who Jesus was. We go on here. But when they came to Jesus, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. But when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Know what we're talking about here? Word power. What did he say? Say in a word. What we say, what we want is God to speak on a situation, because his word is with power. Like I said on, I believe last week, it's out of the sixth chapter of Hebrews, two immutable things that the Hebrew writer said that it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. So in other words, He could swear by no greater. When he made promise to Abraham, he could swear by no greater. He swear by himself. That means he swore alone. He don't need somebody else to pay him so he could pay you. If he said he's going to give you $2 million, nobody's going to stop him. He's going to do whatever he said he was going to. He is going to do. What we need is God's word on it, and they knew this. So that's why they said, saying a word. So saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority. Look at this man, what he's saying. Having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. In other words, Jesus healed him. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man, only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, who? Jesus is the Lord. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. He is the Lord. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her two words, weep not. This is that widow woman who had lost her son. He was dead. And he came and touched the bier. That is, that he wasn't in a casket. He was on one of them things that they carry you on. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Remember, we're talking about word power. And he that was dead sat up. And he that was dead sat up. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. There came a fear on all. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. We're talking about Jesus here. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John calling unto him, two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind gave he sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me. I think we should go back and read that again. I'm talking about word power. At that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and many that were blind gave he sight. Talking about Jesus. Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. When the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out? What went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is whom a home of. This is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least of in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He's talking about himself. And of all people that heard him, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like the children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. Ye say, he hath a devil. Some man come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibbler, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with her hair, the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." Talking about Simon Peter. "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." He said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, talking about that woman, "Thy sins are forgiven." They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" He said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." And it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Talking about Jesus. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. See, now this is the first, I believe in the book of Mark, when he rose from the dead, he appeared first unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. This is the same one. Scripture would support scripture. So, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit a hundredfold. And many and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And some fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit a hundredfold. Excuse me. When he had said these things, he cried. That means proclamation. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. We know our time is just about gone. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" He said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, as seeing they might see, hearing they might not understand." And the parable is this. This is what I've been saying so many times, because people keep talking about sowing a seed nowadays. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those that are by the wayside are they that are here. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Notice now, the seed is the word, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which hear, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for a little while believe, and in time of temptation fall. And so he goes on here, but that on good ground. That on the good ground are they which are with an honest heart and good heart, here having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So this is we're going to end up stopping right there. So we thank God for his word. So we can see Jesus didn't waste words. He didn't waste time. He showed up and he showed out. He showed out of a good conversation who he was. The lifestyle and his mission that he came to do. So this is what we have to do as children of God, our lifestyle, our conversation. That is, our conversation means in biblical terms, in the letters, which were epistles that were written to the people of God, our conversation, that means your lifestyle. So we thank God for his word, and we hope you have been blessed by this word.
Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry, truthministry, 5525 at att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Thank you.